Awesome God, you are. Awesome God, you are so good. Thank you that daily you keep us, daily you lead, daily you direct. But many times we are not paying attention. We don't hear. But today, Father, because we are yours, we ask, O God, that there be a healing, a deliverance, that every deaf and dumb spirit that has been operating in the lives of your people, causing them not to hear, causing them not to prophesy and speak that which they are hearing in the realm of the spirit, that wicked spirit be destroyed, removed, eradicated from our lives, that the influence of the evil one forever be banished, that in hearing you, we will speak the language of faith and see our world changed. Thank you, Father, that you are recreating things through our voice in the earth. For you will do nothing except that you reveal your secrets first to your servants, the prophets. Lord, may we receive secrets of the kingdom, keys of the kingdom, that we may establish your will in the earth as it is in heaven. So now let it be in the earth. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 96 says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. I guess we can also say that is, when you sing, you're singing words, aren't you? So when you're singing, you're saying things in the realm of the Spirit. I want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this evening. I thank God for everyone here present. Ah, I see somebody over there. It's good to see you guys. God bless you. Bless you. Amen. Okay. We've been talking about having your miracle. You may be seated. Having your miracle. And in addressing that subject of having your miracle, we said a few things. That receiving and having are not the same thing. Receiving and having are not the same thing. To receive, you have to ask. Everyone who asks receives. But having has to do with you speaking, calling. The word of God says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. It does not say you shall have what you ask. Amen? That's the first step, that you have to have clarity on to have anything from God. Because the receiving is in the realm of the Spirit. The saying and calling is what downloads what's in, let me put it this way, that which is in the cloud. You download it to have it. Praise the Lord. The manifestation of it is in your saying, your fervency in saying a thing, calling a thing, whatever it is that you call it, that's what it's going to be. Then we went a step deeper, and we said, having is not the same thing as keeping. You can have something but not keep it. This is the place where you fumble the ball. If I'm a quarterback, and it dawned on me today when I was heading home that many years ago when the Lord, we were having a prayer service, a prayer conference here. And I had some big heaters, you know, that were part of the ministry of Kenneth Copeland were here. At least two from Kenneth Copeland Ministries were here. One of them is the lead prayer person for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And we had two other speakers. So we had four speakers here that came from the States. And Mom and I were here. And I was coming to church, and the Lord said to me, says, today I'm going to be quarterback. I don't understand what he meant. But this morning, or early afternoon, as I was heading home, it dawned on me, he didn't say, I'm going to be goalkeeper, or I'm going to be striker. He didn't say, I'm going to be a hitter, or use terms related to hockey, or basketball, or baseball, or any of that. He used football. And it dawned on me, football is the one game that illustrates what we're talking about perfectly. Perfectly. Not baseball, not hockey, not soccer, football. Because a quarterback can throw the ball. And in that service, he said, I'm going to be quarterback. And in that service, he did not throw the ball to any of us that were ministers, anointed men and women of God. He threw it to my daughter, Ashley. And Ashley was there, over here. All of a sudden, she starts laying hands on people. It was unusual. And people were dropping under the power of God. People were watching, first of all, what is going on over there. And when they saw the power of God was moving over there, not over here, they ran over. They went over there, and she was laying hands on them, and pow, 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 they were just dropping like flies. Just dropping under the power of God. I say, look at that. Quarterback. He didn't throw it to any of us. I'm thinking, there's going to be somebody in here, he's going to tell me, and I'm going to say to this particular minister, you go up, you're supposed to speak today. None of that. The power of God moved. Well, a quarterback throws the ball to somebody that's going to receive it. But that person who is going to receive it has to position themselves. Remember the word of God, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places. Yeah? So everything you're going to receive comes from the realm of the Spirit. It's in heavenly places. Now, in that heavenly places, there are also principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, that are operating there trying to block whatever it is that is coming your way. However, in you speaking and taking ownership of that which you are believing God for, because you believe it belongs to you. Esomai. It belongs to me. Amen? Hallelujah. And that word that brings you to that place where you have a sense that it belongs to you because you have received it. You have tagged it. Okay? Receive, tagged it. You are seeing that thing in the realm of the Spirit that you are asking for. Let me help you with this. Last week I talked about imaginations. Remember me talking about this? When you're praying for that which God is asking you to pray about, He gives you an image or a sense of what it is that is coming to you. That's when you have received it, it is tagged, and the word for receiving in this case is the word lambano. It is tagged, it belongs, and it belongs to me. That ball that's been thrown is coming to me. Amen? So now you know you are going to be the receiver of it, but when it comes into your hand, you have it. You have it. It's yours. Are we together so far? It is yours. It is mine. I have received that which I am saying. It is mine. But for it to continue in and with you, clinging to it, you've got to go to another level we talked about. That is the level of keeping it. So, for example, the quarterback throws the ball, the receiver receives it, but if he doesn't hold on to it and fumbles it, it is a no point. Now, how do we keep it? We said, in keeping that which God has given to you, you keep it by giving that which you now caught, that which you're now holding on to, you give it an assignment. You remember I was talking about that? You give it an assignment. How does that relate with football? When you get it, you hold on to it, and you run towards what? The end zone. That's where you head into. When you get to the end zone, you make the point. Hello? Praise the Lord. Is that so? Okay. But let's assume that you're already at the end zone and the ball comes to you. You grab it, but you fumbled it. You did not hold onto it long enough. You're in the end zone. Do you make a point? No. You fumbled it. Make sense? So even if you are properly positioned at the place that you are going to get it all done, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Grab that thing. Cling to it. Keep it. Become one with it. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about, and actually there are two words that are translated as hold. One of them is the word echo. Echo. Now, what does echo sound like to you? An echo is a repetition. Yes? So even after you've had it, you are doing the echo.
How do you do the echo? Thank you, Lord. I have received it. Thank you, Lord. I have it. Thank you, Lord, that this thing that you've given to me is going to do blah, 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 blah. Thank you, Lord, that because I have it, I'm going to be able to do this thing and that thing, whatever it is that you have assigned for it. That's how you get to keep it. If you don't give that which you have received and now have an assignment, you endanger it. It's like giving birth to a child and the child doesn't have the oxygen to continue to live, doesn't have the capacity to breathe. When you give birth to a child, talking about women, not men, one of the first things that they do is make sure that that child says something or cries. True? And if it is not crying, they might spank it. Power. Ouch! Okay, now we're okay. We are okay. You are alive. So let's put all of that together for a quick moment. Oh, one more thing I need to say. The other thing about having is another word called esomai, which means to be. And that's where I was talking to you about this morning, about giving it an assignment. This that I have received is to be this. Give it an assignment. What did I say? Give it an assignment. Everything that you are receiving, that you have, must have an assignment. Everything, if you listen to the Lord, you'll find that that is the particular case. This person received this for that reason. God gives you something, but he gives it to you for a reason. Now, that reason that God gave that thing to you for, you must finalize inside of you. And I illustrated to you this morning about the fact that I might have $50 in my pocket, and somebody comes and says, can you please give me $5? And I say, I don't have any money. But the fact is, I have $500 or $50. Now you may say, that's a lie. Not if I have given the $50 an assignment. This $50 is supposed to buy this set of books for my son. Now it has already had an assignment. So now, if we're going down and we go into a store and this person that was asking me for $5 sees me bring out $50 and pay for the books, the person says, I thought you said you didn't have any money. No, I didn't have any money for you, because this $50 had an assignment. Now, having said that, I can give my $50 an assignment, and God steps in and says, you know that $50 that you give an assignment to get you those books? That $50 is not for that. What is it for? It's meant for this guy that's asking you for $5. I have provision for you for those books. Now, it behooves you then to change your mind, because you are acknowledging the lordship of the Lord concerning the matter. So, for example, we were living in the co-op next door neighbor, a son and a daughter in this house. Anyway, we're living in the co-op, and God had a place for us on Lindcrest. However, a year before, we'd been saving to buy a house, doing everything to save and save and save and save and save, and we saved maybe $2,000+, not up to $3,000. We're saving. And God says, through Mama, actually, this week you're going to have your house. However, before that, we were supposed to move into this building. And we were short quite a bit of dollars. And the Lord told me, and I asked Mama, if you had me tell this story. He said, I want my money. I said, what money? He said, the money in the bank. And we're right in front of the bank. I'm thinking, what is he talking about? That's money for my down payment when I get a house. I try to find support from Mama, and Mama points to that same money. Like she just, she zeroed into it. There goes my helper. So we gave the money. A year later, we move into our first house, paying less than $60,000 from the asking price. Are you with me so far? But the worst part of it is that the person that was living in the house had offered the owner, a Jewish lawyer, $20,000 more than we were offering. And he's in the house. But the owner, the Jewish lawyer, kicks him out. And we get the house. We still didn't have a down payment. But the real estate agent that was selling us the house decides that his commission was going to be our down payment. So that lawyer, the landlord, actually then paid for our down payment. Capish? Because God had a different assignment for that money. And that money was the money that we needed to close the deal. You got it? Okay. So, but that's how we're able to keep it. By obeying the instruction of the Lord. And so this morning we talked about the Word of God says, if you observe and do word, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak the commanded blessings over your life. Are we up to speed so far? Okay. Now, let's go a little bit deeper. Now, what is it? This evening I want to talk about what will stop you, really stop you from getting anything from God. We know James tells us that if we are double-minded, we should not expect to receive anything from God. A double-minded man cannot receive from God, period. What else is of utmost importance? Well, before I go there, let's look at James chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, before I go further. James 1. For let not that man that think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Think he shall receive what? Anything from the Lord. The Word of God says, anyone that asks receives. So the Word of God says, for let not that man that thinks that he shall receive anything from the Lord. He says, that person should not have a double-minded mindset. A double-minded man is what? unstable in all his ways. In other words, he's going to fumble the ball. He's going to stumble. He's going to lose the ball. He's going to lose whatever it is that I'm throwing to him. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These principles that we're talking about are principles of the kingdom that affect every area of your life, bar none. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. A double-minded person is a person that has faith in God, faith in himself, faith in other people, faith that something's going to happen some other way. In other words, he's not focused. And Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19 tell us about something. It says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have what? Familiar spirits. And unto wizards that peep and that what? Murder. So you see that those on the other side are muttering. They're saying things. And those things that they are saying, they are believing is going to come to pass. And they are using spiritual principles to manifest realities. And you have to have the grace and the power of God to discomfit and cancel out all of their sayings, all of their mutterings. He says, they're going to say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. What are familiar spirits? Familiar spirits are familiar, are spirits that are familiar to you. They know you. They know your family. They know how things work around you. And so they know how to go get stuff and bring it to you or try to defeat you. Those are familiar spirits. And then it goes on and says, unto wizards that what? Peep. What are what people that peep, what are they trying to do? They are trying to see something that they are not permitted to what? To see. Yeah? Are we together so far? So the enemy wants to peep into your future, peep into whatever it is that you are asking for, and try to stop it. Wizards do that, and they start to mutter. They are trying to shut down your capacity to receive. He says, unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto whom? Their God. For the living to the dead. All through your life, seek God. And when you seek God, and he's number one, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be what? Added unto you. Okay, so the mandate is to seek God, because God has everything you need. And everything you need is a daily benefit. Let me say that again. It's a daily benefit. Every day has something new that God is doing. Why? Because God is not static. I make a statement, I've made this statement for many years now, and the statement is never peak. Remember me saying that? Never peak. Well, the reason for not peaking is you have to keep on giving an assignment to everything, to every day. That's what God does. God never peaks. In fact, the world that he created, this world that we are in, and the universe and the galaxy is still expanding. It's not peaking. Because God is still giving assignments to every day. It will keep on going and going and never collapsing. It will never collapse. Because once you peak, you drop. God's power is everlasting. Amen? Now, keep this verse. Make note of this verse that I just give to you, because it's of utmost importance. If there is a verse that you should pray every day and declare over your life every day, it is this verse. Father, your assignment and your blessings bestowed and assigned to my life this day, let not the enemy behold, and let there be no muttering around me. In the mighty name of Jesus, I send this word to every day in my future. I just did something. I said, I send this word to every day in my future. So if I don't even say it, the word has received an assignment. Are we together? I've given that word that I just said an assignment, and it is an assignment for every day. Every day, shut the mouth of every wizard, every practitioner of wickedness that wants to mutter or peep into my future or anything that's going to happen in my life. Word of God, go after every day and dismantle every activity of the enemy. While I'm awake, while I'm asleep, while I am moving around alive, even to the day of my death, and after I die, let that word keep on. Because that word has to fight for my children. You get it? Because the enemy waits, okay, if I can't get it and do it while he's alive, I will do it when he's dead. And guess what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He says, you're going to speak in tongues. You're going to prophesy. The devil didn't like that. Because God gave an assignment to every day. They were weak, defeated. He says, you're going to receive the same spirit I've got. And you're going to prophesy. You're going to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Are you ready to do the same thing like I just did a moment ago? Okay. Say this. Father, I declare by the authority of your word, in the name of Jesus, that this word that I now speak goes forth and addresses every single day of my life. And when I die, it will continue to speak. It will continue to echo. It will continue to cause blessings to abound in my life. I declare, in the mighty name of Jesus, that every familiar spirit and the spirit of wizards that peep and mutter be shut down in the mighty name of Jesus. They are shut down. Lord, oh God, every muttering spirit is destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Slap the teeth out of their mouth. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare judgment on every foul, evil, resisting spirit from the depths of hell. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, trying to resist the will of God in my life. Today, you are shut down and you are made extinct. By the authority of the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our heart is to seek God and to see the will of God done. Praise the Lord. Now, we also talked about not just keeping whatever it is that we have. We drove home a particular point that to keep, you have to command or give an assignment to a thing so that it accomplishes the will of God. Now, I want to wrap up this evening by looking at two other aspects of things. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Psalm 34 and 10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack or want any good thing. And the key to having that which you are not going to lack is centered in the second verse, or the 11th verse. It says, my soul shall make, or come ye children rather, hearken unto me, listen to me, and I will do what? Teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good, that he may see good? That man should depart from evil and what? Do good, seek peace, and what? Pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Run after it. Go get it. This is the conduit through which God's blessings are going to flow into your life. And then it goes on and says, it says, keep thy tongue from what? Evil. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. What is guile? Guile is truth that is not the truth. So something is true, but it's not the truth. It is true, I have a headache. But the truth is, by his stripes, I am healed. Yes? By his stripes ye were, Peter will say, healed. So something is a fact, but is not the truth. So you keep your mouth from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And the next verse says, watch this, the eyes of the Lord are what? Are upon the righteous, and his ears are what? Open unto their cry. Leading to that is having the fear of God. God, teach me to fear, to have a reverence for you. And then the second thing is the manifestation of the fact that I have a fear of God is I stop speaking nonsense out of my mouth, speaking evil out of my mouth, speaking that which is not true out of my mouth, departing from that which is evil. Why? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And the 16th verse says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. To do what? To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. He says, I'm going to cut off the remembrance of evildoers. In essence, there is no, when they die, nobody's going to remember them. Their influence is shut down. I have to have the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. The Word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and then He, God, will direct your path. Now, let's look at Proverbs 3. I just quoted it a moment ago. Proverbs 3, verse 5. He says, honor the Lord. No, verse 5. We're going to come to verse 9. Verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. The key to receiving from God is to pray according to His will. Yeah? According to His will. I want to pray according to His will. And I pray according to His will because I, first of all, acknowledge Him. I come and I have a talk. Let's put it this way. Yes, it is important to kneel down to pray. It's important to stand in some stances to pray. But there is a place where you can, let's say, I want to talk to God. That's His seat. I sit over here and I talk to God. This kind is one where you are having a discussion. This kind, you are not just pouring out words. You are having a discussion. You're saying, this is what I'm facing. I don't know what to do about it, but I know you know what to do about it. But I also know that nothing is going to happen here without you giving, downloading into my spirit what you will, so I can prophesy it in the earth. And you sit down there and you just be quiet. You get that? You're quiet. And all of a sudden, poof, a thought comes in. You run with that. And you're quiet again. And it gives you more. 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 And you keep on saying what it is until it gets you right to the end zone. Just like the quarterback keeps on throwing the ball and you catch it and you make 3 yards or 5 yards, or you run and you cover 10 yards until you got tackled, and then the quarterback comes to that spot and boom, and you go until you get to that end zone. You are praying according to His will. And the Word of God says, when we pray according to His will, we know that He heareth us. Yeah? Hinting that if you're not praying according to His will, He's not listening to that foolishness. Because God doesn't want to bring to pass everything you are asking. Because He knows that no. I got something better for you, and you're asking me some foolish stuff. Get out of here. Not listening to that. Oh, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. I'm not listening to that. Bring the robe. Yes? Oh, if I tell you how many things I am thankful today to God that He did not listen, did not give me what I was asking. My Lord, all the things He saved me from. But all of those experiences in life, in my walk with God, is to teach me how to connect with Him in a proper way. And so if something's not happening, I'm not going to break my head about it. God knows His timing. He's going to cause me to keep pace. He's my good shepherd. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, making certain that I am where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. Nothing evil is going to befall me because I am abiding under the shelter, the tabernacle of the Most High God. So everything in my life is meant to be good. He causes all things to work together for good. Amen? So you just rest in that. Have a discussion. Have a conversation. And in that conversation, you will know what to ask. Praise the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. That's that word again. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is it going to be? It shall be held to thy navel. Now, why is that important? The navel is the first point of connection, the first point of nourishment that you had from your mother while you were in your mother's womb. Yeah? And it's going to be marrow to thy bones. It is going to be marrow to thy bones. That's how your bones get refreshed, renewed. Blood, the blood system is working inside there. How do we complete this? It says, honor the Lord with what? Thy substance. And with the first fruits of thine increase. It says, everything that comes into your hand, honor God. How do you honor God? By releasing it to God with thanksgiving, because you know that in giving to Him, more is going to flow back into your life. Praise the Lord. He says, this is how your barns are going to be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then let's look at this. The reason we're seeking God is because we know that God has good plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. That is shalom, shalim. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything intact. So that's the thoughts I think towards you. It's not of evil, and it is meant to give to you an expected end. An expected end. Now, while you are praying and you're believing, God will establish inside of your spirit an expectation. That expectation is of that which you have received in the realm of the Spirit that you need to have. Amen? He says, that which I'm planting inside of your spirit, that you are dreaming about, that you are declaring by faith, I am going to make it happen for you. Amen. Why? Because you're calling it. You're calling it. You're calling it. That's of utmost importance. Isaiah 45 and verse 19. He says, I have not spoken in secret. I have not spoken in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. When God says, seek me, he says, I broadcasted it to everybody. This is what I'm going to do. And I did not do it and say to Jacob, seek me in vain. If you're going to seek me, there's going to be a reward. Amen? I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Isn't that powerful? I declare things that are right. Now, remember, He does nothing except he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So it is in that discussion, whenever that discussion is happening, that you ride on that word, and that becomes the manifestation of the will of God. You remember me talking to you about God speaking to me while I was driving down Main Street, and he says, "Jose, let there be a Burger King." Remember that? Let there be a Burger King. It was related to solving a problem that we had here that we needed money to solve, but the money wasn't coming, but God said, "Jose, let there be a Burger King." And that problem, plus many others, got solved because the Burger King came there exactly where he said, "Jose, let there be a Burger King." I had no clue that that was going to be the answer to what I was praying about, believing God for about a year and a half. Just, "God, we need money to do this. We need money to do that." And God, I think, was just looking at me saying, "Look at this boy. He thinks money is going to solve everything. Let me show him something." But I had to hear him and obey the word he said. "Let there be a Burger King." And the machinery that we needed to solve the big problem over here came from the Burger King. The last thing that the man was doing, he just finished putting the last structure on the roof, the blue roof, over their entertainment center. When I got there and talked to him, and he came here and he helped us do what we needed done. Wiped out $20,000+ worth of bills that I would have paid to get the job done. And all I paid him was $100 tip, and he didn't even want it. Can you imagine? Praise the Lord. But guess what? The amount of money that I need, that I had, was to be paid to somebody else who came into the building to put the well, the pump in. The pump only cost about $3,000 plus labor. And that guy says, "You must be paying so much for heating in this place. I have a friend. Let me ask him to come and see." And the guy comes in here, looks over here. I'm not going to say all the things that he found, but he found some stuff that he should not find in here because it's an old building. Cleans all of it out. Insulates all of our pipes from downstairs all across the overflow banquet hall. All of the pipes wrapped. That could have cost me another anything from maybe $6,000 to $10,000. And when I said, "How much?" He said, "Free." Hello? All of that happens with, "Let there be" what? A Burger King. Do you know how many prayers I would have prayed to try to solve that one problem? But God says, "Just say." Just say. How many times has it just spoken to me, just say this? And it just wiped out a whole bunch of problems. Yeah. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me do two more verses and I'll let you go for tonight. Isaiah 55. I'm going to do verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. It says to us here, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Are you ready for more secrets? All I'm doing tonight is sharing secrets. Okay? It says there, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Philippians says that we should not worry, we should not fret, but we should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say unto thee, rejoice. And it says, make your request, present your situation before the Lord, because the Lord is at hand. Yeah? Okay. Now, in John 4, he tells us about the woman at the well. I want you to get this point. It's a very important point. The Lord is there. The Bible says he needs to go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through there, but he needed to go through there. Why? Because he's going to meet this woman and minister to her. And he says to her, he says, give me water to drink. And the woman says, you, a Jew, you're asking me, a Samaritan, to give you water to drink? Don't you know we don't have anything in common? And the Lord says to her, he says, if you knew who it is that is asking you for a drink, you should have asked me that is asking you for a drink to give you drink. What sense would that make? He says, you don't have a well. you don't have any bucket or whatever to get water out of this place. What are you talking about? Me asking you that is asking me. Well, because when God, remember our discussion thing here, when God is asking you to do anything, that is the nearest point. He's there asking you. So you have his attention already. So what do? You tell him what you want. While he's telling you what he wants, that's your perfect time. When God asks you to give him something, that's your perfect time to ask him to give you something. If you thought for a moment there, somebody was thinking that, or a pastor is trying to ask me to give something, then you miss the whole point. You end up getting nothing. Your perfect time to ask God for anything is when God is asking you for something. Hallelujah. Your perfect time. If God is not asking you for something, observe what you think God needs. And say, I'm going to provide this for you. And God say, you're going to do that for me? That's your perfect time to ask him for something. Example, Hannah wants a baby. Yes? God needs a prophet. She observed, Hophni and Phinehas, those guys, I mess up. Eli is old, he's going to die. Somebody has to take their place. But those guys are going to mess things up. God, if you need a prophet, give me a baby. And God says, I take that deal. Let's do an exchange. You got to know how to do business with God. Amen? I'll give you a baby. Okay, you got it. And she got the baby. And she gave the baby and honored the commitment she made. Do you think you are going to outgive God or commit yourself more than God can commit himself to you? No. Something will happen. But you have to know how to make that connection. Hallelujah. It says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, yeah. I know what I'm doing. And I'm going to get it done. Everything I've shared with you is to basically say this. God is more interested in giving to you than you can ask. And Ephesians says this. He says, God will do exceedingly far beyond that which you dare ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. That power being the power of love and faith. Amen? So I want you today to position yourself always not just to receive, but to have and to keep. Your life, my life, our lives corporately will be much easier because everyone that asketh receives, and you have what you say. Amen? And you keep that which you give assignment to. That's how he established everything. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stayed. That word command is the word for commissioning. Give whatever it is that you're doing a commission, an assignment, and you will keep it. That's how God keeps all of this. He steadily is giving every day an assignment. So, he says in his word, day unto day, or threat, speech. Yeah? Day unto day, every day is speaking. Night after night unveils knowledge. Every day is speaking. And during the night, God is unveiling secrets. Align with it. Keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. And you tap the daily benefits that God has for you. Do you receive that? Are you going to work with that? Because if you work with that, you're going to find out that your prayer is more about thanksgiving for things that you didn't even ask for. You didn't even ask for it. It just happened. Wow, I didn't ask for this. God is so good. God is so good. That's going to be your report, my report, our report. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because God is not interested in you coming to beg. He did not raise up beggars. He did not birth beggars. He birthed sons and daughters who know their rights. The people that know their God do what? They do exploits. Don't get exploited. You do the exploiting. Amen? Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to just graze in your pasture. Just eat. Experience of being renewed in the spirit of our minds so that we can prove that which is your good, acceptable, and perfect will. Make us this day more like you, operating in a dimension, in a realm of great authority and power that causes the world that we live in to be influenced so that there be a manifestation of that which you have in the heavenlies for us in the earth. Let this day wrap up with us receiving the benefits that you have for us this day. And may we begin the new day basking in the glory of that which you have ordained for us to have. May we never stumble, and may we never fumble that which you have given to us. Help us to keep by giving an assignment to everything that you've bestowed upon our lives. We live fulfilled in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, today is the last Sunday of the month, and it's our Mission Sunday. If you're not given a special offering for missions, that will be your opportunity. Just mark out missions, in your envelope, and it will be assigned towards that end. Just come, honor God with your giving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, before I greet those that are here, we are going to sign off from YouTube and Facebook and Reddit or whatever it is, Rumble. Let me say hello, quick hello to those online. Sister Carol, you